And I made up a new word for this series, and Psalms, so we turn in there. Psalm chapter 9. We're mostly in Psalms, except for maybe one of their passages, Psalms chapter 9. Lately, I've had problems naming my series or sermons and haven't come up with anything really witty. And so I made up a new word that seemed to fit for my sermon, and we'll put it in the Byram Dictionary. And the series that we're going to call it Being Psalmish. And I want to be how we can learn to be like people in the Psalms, and more like the Psalms. The Psalms has its own flavor and its own attitude, and I think that's part of the Christian life is being Psalmish. So that's a new adjective that we made up. And if you think of a better way to say it, let me know, and we'll do it. But until then, we're talking about being psalmist. And every week we'll go into the book of Psalms, and just trying to get one of their characteristics of how they lived, talked, thought, and how we can implement that into our life. Psalm chapter 9. Tonight we're going to talk about with all of your heart, with all of your heart. It says, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Let's pray, and we'll talk about being psalmist with your whole heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I thank you for the encouragement from the missionary father, Brother Vallejo. I pray that tonight we would be have our mind again on eternal souls. We ask you would help us as we study these verses in Psalms and understand what you would have us to be like. And in this short time, Lord, make our thinking better and change us and make us what we ought to be and closer to what you want, Father, even if it makes us leave our comfort zone, even if it's not where we normally like being, even if it's not what we necessarily are comfortable in. Please help us to see the way you want us to be and the way you express that, Father. And may the Holy Spirit speak to each one of us individually and powerfully, and anybody who might hear this message someday on the internet or on a CD, may that you speak to their heart also. Just anoint it with great power in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I'm kind of preaching on me a little bit. This series is not necessarily in many of the lessons me. They're just the way I'm wired, that all of us are wired fearfully and wonderfully, but some of the good wiring you have also has a negative to it. As I said, everything has a positive and a negative. My sister-in-law had a wonderful new baby, and that's a big blessing, but there's also a lot of responsibility, a lot of work, and a lot of nights being awake that comes to the child. And with every blessing, there's a burden that comes with it. If you think every blessing has nothing that comes with it, if I just had money, there's nothing negative about money, ask a rich person. They'll tell you that's not true. And everything is like that. And in my nature, I am... not an expressive person outwardly. If you just see me at church, you might not think that. If you see me very much at all, you'll know that about me. I am not a gregarious, outgoing, expressive person in my nature. I have that in me if I need it, but it's not what I like. It's not what I idle at in the way I do things. And this message is kind of me because the Bible says you should be expressive and full-hearted in things, and I want to just—it's not my strong point. This isn't, but it's what the Bible says, and I want me to get better at it. And because I'm not good at something, I refuse to just say, "Well, that's just not me." A lot of people witnessing just isn't them, but they're still supposed to do it. A lot of people praying or being alone or going to church—I just not comfortable at church. What you're comfortable with and what you should do might be two different things. Some people aren't comfortable going to work. And some are comfortable taking care of their kids. And some are comfortable paying their bills. But it doesn't matter. You still do what's right, even if you feel like it, or it's you, or it's not you, or it's your comfort zone. And so tonight, even though it's not my comfort zone, I want to become more like this because the Bible talks about it. two things that David says in this chapter he's going to do. First of all, he's going to praise God with his whole heart. Second thing he's going to do is he's going to show forth his works. Verse 1, I'll praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. And he says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. He says, I'm going to be glad and I'm going to rejoice. I will sing praise unto thy name, O thou most high. These are things that he's going to feel, and these are things he's going to do, and they're two different things. He feels thankfulness. He feels a love for God. He feels all these things, but feeling thankfulness is very important, but giving thanks is also part of it. Feeling like praising God is one thing, and praising God is another. And it's two different things to feel like something and to feel something in your heart. But I want to tell you this, it's very important in your life that you express what you feel when it's time to express it. Many a person has said, oh, I'm not an expressive person. I love my family, but I don't tell them that. No, you need to express what you feel in that case. Mm-hmm. Now, there's sometimes you don't express everything you feel. Everybody that irritates me, I don't say you irritate me and I can't stand you. The Bible says a wise man hold till afterwards. But in the context of praise, he says, I'm going to praise. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise him with my whole heart. I'm going to show forth his works. I'm going to show what he's done. I'm going to let everybody know what he has done. Those are two different things he's going to outwardly do. And he does, he's going to do it with his whole heart. And that's very important. Right now, the NCAA tournament is going on, March Madness, they call it. And massive production is lost at work. And you know me, I love sports. I don't like professional basketball at all, but I like college basketball. I love lots of sports. And I find myself getting into things a lot. And I find in sports I get too attached to it. Sometimes I get too into it. Sometimes I have to walk away because I get too angry at the referees because they always are against my teams. And I get mad at these things. And I say to people, you know, I'm just an expressive person. I'm generally not. But you know what? I get expressive sometimes. When right now people are going crazy watching their – if you went to those stadiums, people are nuts. The way they dress, the way they act, the way they jump, the way they talk, the way they scream, the way they yell, the way they go crazy. And they'll have a whole gymnasium at their home stadium full of people wearing every color and screaming and yelling and all, going crazy. And even the person who's the most reserved, when they really get into their team, they act nutty. They express it. When somebody, a person will say, I never express, I'm just an unexpressive person. But watch them get cut off on the highway by somebody. You stinking rah, rah. Because everybody gets expressive about something. And everybody has things, when you feel it enough, you weep, you scream, you laugh, you cry. There's very few people who really don't express anything. And I'm not saying you have to be an expressive person if you're not, but you need to go and with everything in you. Whatever it is, when you are the most excited, let's take that for our standard. If some person is, I mean, when they feel excited, they just, everybody knows it. And somebody else, when they're 100% excited, they're like this. And they say, that's great. And that's as excited as they ever get. Okay, then that's how you ought to praise God. Amen. With all your heart. I'm not saying you have to be somebody else. Don't if you're me, don't go, I am so glad to see you. Everybody will do exactly what you just did. Are you okay, Pastor? You've been smoking some funny stuff? Because you would say, that's not you. But that's not what I do when I'm happy. When I'm around my kids, I'm probably the most expressive when I'm around my family. Because I have the cutest kids in the world and the most wonderful wife in the world. And I just say, like, you are so cute. Come here, give daddy a kiss. And I, as expressive as I get, because I do, because I love my family with my whole heart. And I can get somewhat expressive. I don't say, come here, you are my child and I feel great feelings for you. I don't do that. Okay, I get this high when I'm expressive, when I feel something. And so I need to put my standard of whatever my whole heart, whatever my team is the most intense thing, whatever I do that makes me feel the deepest. Taylor, here, drive me crazy with that rubber band. I'm going to express myself shortly. Whatever it is you feel the very most expressive about, and whatever you feel the most, that is what you ought to give God. And if you weep sometimes, you ought to be weeping for God. If you're happy and you're the kind of person that says, this is awesome, you ought to say, God, you are awesome, because that's your whole heart. Every one of us ought to give our whole heart and give it to God. People do crazy things. A person who says they're just a cold, hard person, but you know what? They're pretty expressive when they're at a wicked music concert. They're jamming out. They're doing, and they say, well, you guys are crazy at church if you get excited. Why? We have a lot more to sing about than you do. Amen. You're singing about death, and you're singing about stupid things, and you're singing about immorality, and you're singing about drugs. Hey, listen, we're singing about heaven and the God of the universe. We ought to be with our whole heart saying, I love Jesus with everything, and I'm happy, and I love you, God, and thank you, God, with everything we have. That's what he says. I will praise God with my whole heart, with everything I have. That's what he says. There's many verses we could read about that. Psalms 86. So the first thing we're supposed to do is praise God. And there's some things we're going to read about what we do with our whole heart. But the first thing is praise God with your whole heart. If when you watch your favorite TV show, you show your most passion and expression, or when you watch sports, or when you get a big paycheck, or when somebody tells you you won the lottery. Whatever your whole heart is, that's what you ought to have for God. The deepest of your emotions, the strongest of your expression should be for him. Psalms 86. And verse 12, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. Why? For thy great is thy mercy toward me. You know, I've taught you in your prayer life that you have a time of worship and a time of praise. Whenever I get in my praise time, in worship time, I think of God's mercy toward me. And I think of his patience toward me. And I think of one word, it's in Psalms 117. It says, his merciful kindness is great toward us. And I think that's what God has toward me, mercifully kind. I mean, I get excited when I'm praising God and say, Lord, you are so patient with me, Lord. Thank you for being so kind and so patient and so merciful to me, Lord. You should have killed me, destroyed me, took away my salvation a long time ago, Lord. You have been so merciful to me. Whenever I get the mercy part with God, that's when I probably get the most excited, because it's God's mercy that keeps me from being consumed. And we go and we got to have that praising God with your whole heart. And by the way, here's the part I don't like, and the part a lot of you don't like, even around people. Even around people. Psalms 111. Psalms 111. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Now, let's just be honest here for a sec. Baptists don't get excited in church. They get excited when they get a bacon burger. They get excited at sports, and they get excited about a lot of things. But they don't get excited in church. But it says right there, I'm going to praise you with my whole heart in the congregation. There is nothing wrong with lifting up your hands to God. There is nothing wrong with saying, praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying, thank you, Jesus. There is nothing wrong with that in church. That is tradition of men that keeps you from doing that. It's not Bible. He says, I'll praise you with my whole heart in the middle of the congregation. There is nothing wrong with that. I don't mind when somebody does that. If you disturb the service, we can't have service, and you start acting crazy, then we're going to stop you, because all things are supposed to be done decently and in order, and we can't have a service. But if you want to praise the Lord, praise the Lord. If you want to stand up and say, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, hey, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm going to praise God in the congregation. There's nothing wrong with that. Raising your hands is biblical. It's 1 Timothy and it's Psalms. It's all over the Bible. And all those things are good. I think you ought to praise God. Get excited. Don't act crazy, because not supposed to act crazy. But with your whole heart, even in the group, even around people, you are supposed to praise God with all your heart. I have a hard time, to be honest with you, praying like I pray in private around people. I just do. And I'm not saying I'm going to pray like I pray in private around people, because I'm pouring out my heart to God there. And I'm confessing my sins and everything else. And so there's a lot of things I wouldn't do in public that I would do in private. And I have a lot more time to meditate and think and get worked up. However, I need to pray a lot more passionately and praise God more passionately when I'm around people. I'll say it out loud. I'll say, God is good. Thank God for that. But you know, the truth is, when I go alone, I praise a lot harder, because I'm not comfortable. Something in me rebels against doing things to be showy. It's so opposite of me. I don't like people knowing what I'm doing, good things. I don't like people to know. And so I've taken that overboard, I think, in my own self. And I do not praise God when I don't pray and show God my love toward God like I would. I sing songs much more passionately in private than I do when in public. I just do. And I want to fix myself here where it says, I will praise him in the congregation of the assembly. And I will do that with in front of people. That is good, and that's what God wants. Even if it's not what I like and it's not my comfort zone, that's wrong. Because the Bible says I'm going to praise God with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. And in the Bible, if you followed their holy days, they would have a fit. They would have a great time praising God in there. And that's what we want to do. Amen? Want to praise God. When I pray, and if I can get back to just you praising God, I'm backward here. I always face toward the north. I'm one of the people who know which way is north and which way is east. I always know which direction I'm facing. I always pray to the north. Psalms, I think, 75 says, our help cometh from the north. And so I want to turn around and do this because that's north, and I'm facing south. And whenever I pray, I always face toward the north. And But when I praise God, I get pretty excited. I remember when I was in college, I used to walk around to the lake at college. And I would jog out there because my time was very limited. I'd jog out and jog past the gym and jog to the other side of the lake where nobody was. And I would begin praising God. And I always started off praising God and worshiping God for who he was. And I got pretty excited. And almost every night, I would sing, How Great Thou Art. Now, that's changed. I sing different songs sometimes to God, but I would sing How Great Thou Art, and I would look at the stars up there, and you could see stars there. It's not Seattle, where it's always cloudy. And, oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, and I just praise God. Then sings my soul. You say, do you raise your hands? I do. It's natural for a Christian to do that. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, and I'd worship him. And then I would get done, and I'd do that as I was near one certain tree, and then I'd walk farther in there, and I found a spot where there was a bunch of big bushes, but if you fought your way through the bushes, it was hollow inside. And that was my really throw a fit time place, because nobody could find me. There was only one way to get through all those bushes, And you couldn't see it unless you tried to force your way through. And so I used to go in there, and nobody could see in there. It was this hollow inside. And I would just praise God and throw a fit for my salvation, that I'm not going to hell, that God loves me, that he's called me to ministry, that he saved me, that he lets me be used to win souls to Christ, that he's my best friend, that he lives inside of me, that he's my father. And just throw a fit and praise with all my heart. One time I threw my neck out. I was just praising God so hard. I wonder how often most of us just go alone and just praise God of everything in us. I'd be surprised, and you're better than most Christians, and you're way more dedicated. I'd be surprised if most of you prayed with all of your heart. But I find even the most minimal Christians at certain points will pray with all their heart. Maybe somebody's dying, maybe they're desperate, maybe their life has fallen apart. They'll pray passionately for a little while. But I wonder how many Christians ever really praise God with all their heart. He says here we're supposed to praise him with all of your heart. The same passion that's screaming and yelling for Marquette to win or for the Blue Devils or for whatever team they love and is going crazy and got them painted three colors and everything else and a giant weird wig and everything else are going crazy there and just... Ah! That's right. I wonder how many of us look at God and say, Lord, you're so amazing, instead of, isn't he an amazing player? He's the best. We don't get that passion, I don't think. But he says, I'll praise God with my whole heart. Wouldn't Jesus be happy if one of us looked up tonight or tomorrow morning, got up and said, Lord, I'm going to praise you with everything. You are so incredible. And just everything you had just poured out your heart and said how much you love him and how glad you are you're saved and how wonderfully kind he's been and how patient he's been for you and everything you had to your sweating with all your heart praising God. Don't you think God would be pleased about that? Amen?
Amen.
Maybe we should do that. Praise the Lord with all your heart. Do you really praise him with your whole heart? Privately, publicly? I think we need to get back to that. I'm not talking about causing a scene in church. I don't mean that. But with everything in you, if you really felt that deep of thankfulness. Hey, the person who gets $1 million or wins a lottery, they don't have a problem being real happy and expressing thanks. Person who inherits $1 billion, a person who gets all their debt paid off, they get excited and praise about that. A kid at Christmas is pretty expressive and thankful. And every day for a Christian is Christmas, because you're saved and your sins are forgiven. Psalms 138 and verse 1. Again, just another verse, praising God with all your heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods while I sing praise unto thee. Small g, false gods. He says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. He says, I'm going to praise you even around false gods and idols. Take your praise with thee to work. Take your praise around the heathen. Take your praise. Praise God. Praise God. Take it with you. Praise God. Hey, everything you have is from Him. Every breath you're breathing is from Him. Take it to school. Take it to work. Take it home. Take it with you and praise God. And don't be afraid to praise God among the heathen. It's God. God is good and He deserves that praise. And they deserve to know the reason I'm alive today is because of God. The reason, hey, I'm thankful. I'm saved today. I got a song in my heart because of that. What are we supposed to do with our whole heart? First of all, praise God. Secondly, we're supposed to seek God. Let's go to Psalms 119. If we want to be psalmish, we should praise God with all of our heart. And secondly, with all of our heart, we should seek God. Psalms 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with their whole heart. Verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. You're supposed to seek God. Seek God is like what happens on treasure hunt at Open Door. We hide that treasure chest, and the kids go and seek the treasure. If you had a clue that in your yard somewhere was a treasure worth millions of dollars in gold, boy, think of how you'd seek that treasure. How you'd dig up your yard, how you'd buy a metal detector, how you would build a fence around your yard, not tell anybody, and how you do it at night, and all the things, the diligence you go to seek that gold. And God says, I want you to seek me. Sometimes God says, I'm a little far away. Why don't you come seek me? I want to see if anybody really wants me. Let's see if somebody's going to seek me with all their heart. And God says, I want you to seek me with every bit in you. Seek to be closer to me. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, 'tis my plea. A seeking of God. And He says you should do it with your whole heart. The Bible says if you seek God, you'll find Him in a special way that every Christian doesn't find. Jeremiah, you don't have to turn here, but it's Jeremiah 29. It says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall seek for me with all your heart. God says, those who really seek for me with all their heart will find it. Judah started seeking for God under King Asa in 2 Chronicles. And I want you to read what God says to them. I'll read it to you. It's beautiful what He says about how they're going to be blessed because they sought Him and they obeyed Him with all their heart. And He says in 2 Chronicles, it says, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. In verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at an oath. Let me, verse 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire. And He was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. They sought God, and they had a troubled nation, and God said, you've sought me, and you've sought me with all your heart, and you have committed to me with all your heart. I'm going to give you peace all around about. Wouldn't you like to have peace around about your life? He says, I gave peace to them, and I heard them, and I'm going to answer their prayers because they sought me and looked to me with all of their heart. We're supposed to praise God with all of our heart. We're supposed to seek God with all of our heart. Next, we're supposed to keep His commandments with all of our heart. Psalms 119, keep His commandments with all your heart. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 69, He says this, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." If I ask you to keep something, if I said, "I want you to keep my phone, and this thing is the most important thing in the world, and if you will keep this phone and bring it back to me in a month, I will give you a brand new house." Okay? Think of how you keep this thing. The intensity, how you'd make sure you didn't lose it, how you make sure it didn't get destroyed, how you'd protect it, how you wouldn't let anybody else hold it, how you'd be so careful to keep it. He says, "I want you to keep my statutes, the Bible, with your whole heart." What dedication, what determination do you have determined in your heart that you will keep God's word no matter what happens? Because it's going to be tested. The people at work are going to test it. The people at school are going to test it. Your friends are going to test it. Your family will even test it and see if you're going to keep the Bible. A lot of people say, "I'm going to serve God now. I'm going to go to church now." But they're not going to keep it with their whole heart. Because when persecution arises and some new fun fad comes around, and when it costs anything or they lose any friends, or it's hard to go to church, or it's hard to do the things that are right, you find out they're not keeping the Bible with their whole heart. They're half-heartedly keeping the Bible. But some people determine they're going to keep it no matter what the cost. That's what martyrs are. They are killed because they keep the Bible with all of their heart, all of their passion. And by the way, when you really, really, really decide to do something, you're pretty stubborn, aren't you? Okay? When I just really, really, really decide to do something, nothing stops me. And when you really, really decide you're going to praise God with all your heart and really decide you're going to keep the Bible with all your heart, when you make a decision to really follow Christ with all your heart, the greatest commandment, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, when you decide you're going to do that, you'll stick with it. Through thick and thin, good and bad, hard and easy, when you don't understand God, when things don't seem fair, when things are tough, every time you're always going to follow God because you did it with all your heart and you are sticking with it. You keep his commandments with all your heart. Next, what are we supposed to do with all of our heart? If we want to be psalmish, we're gonna bless the Lord with all of our heart. Psalms 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." God blesses you. Do you ever bless him? God blesses you. Do you ever bless him? Do you ever just bless God with your whole heart? Do you ever just please him and upward and lift up God? Bless the Lord, it says. All that is within me, bless his holy name and just bring honor and glory to God. And last thing I want to say, if we want to be psalmish and we want to do these things with all of our heart, we're going to praise God with all of our heart. We're going to seek God with all of our heart. We're going to keep the Bible with all of our heart. We're going to bless the Lord with all of our heart, and we're going to beg for God's favor with all of our heart. Again, Psalms 119, verse 58. "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I have amazing kids, and they're wonderful, and they're all so different and unique. Each one of my kids has something they're very persistent about. And they're all getting nervous and talk about their persistent thing. We'll just say for some of them, it's food. How many ever known someone who's persistent when they're hungry? Okay. You ever have like something yummy, like a candy bar or something, and somebody else is persistently after your candy bar? Can I have some? Can I have some? I like that kind of candy bar. That's my favorite kind of candy bar. I wish I had one of those. I've been praying for one of those candy bars. Huh? I wish I had one like that. Are you really full? I mean, persistent people. Some people are persistent about going fishing. One of my children is. One of my boys who still lives with me. And is very persistent about fishing. And they love to go fishing. They remind me of it. And you know what? I don't mind that. I don't mind the food request. I don't mind all of them. They're all cute and special and wonderful. And you know what? My kids know not to beg, and they know not to be obnoxious about it. But if I wouldn't have trained them, they would have been. You ever get somebody persistent about things? And yet, you know the strange thing about God? God likes us being persistent to him. Luke 18 says that. Men ought always to pray not to faint. Look at the widow with the unjust judge, and look at the friend at midnight, and look at all these different stories. God likes us being persistent. And he says, God, I'm going to cry unto you with all my heart, and I'm going to plead with you with all my heart. And he says this, I have entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I need your help, God, with my whole heart. With my whole heart. I had one of the pastors, I was joking when I was in Haiti. A lot of them needed help, and a lot of them came to me, and that was fine. And we knew that, we planned for that, and we raised the money and everything. But my process was, I don't know every pastor's situation, and a lot of times I want to make sure it goes to the right place and it's used well. So Brother Juanito knew all of them, and he knows what's legitimate and not, and which guys are in line and doing the right things. And so they just came to me. I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And they all sounded legitimate and needy. And I told them, okay, I need to talk to Brother Juanito, and we're going to discuss it, what we can do to help. We don't have enough money for everybody and everything. And so Brother Juanito talked to him. But I had one pastor, and he was a persistent one. As a matter of fact, before I went there, he emailed me. And I don't know how he got my email. And he emailed me in Creole. I didn't understand a word he said. And then he emailed me, and he got somebody to translate it into very bad English and told me what he needed. And then I got there, and I remember his name walked to me. He says in Creole, he starts talking to me, Pastor Byram, da-da-da-da-da. He says his name, and I said, oh, this is the guy. And he didn't have a translator, and he was just telling me all his need in Creole. I don't know what he was saying, but he was persistent. And then 10 minutes later, he walks over with somebody who spoke English. Da-da-da-da-da-da. He wants me to tell you he needs this, this, and this, and this, and this. I said, oh, okay, you need this. Okay, now I know. I'll talk to Brother Tony about it. The next session, went back, took a break. Next session, he comes to translate. Have you talked to Brother Hanada about it yet? I said, no, I haven't talked to him yet about it. And he said, okay, I really need this. I really need this. Brother Hanada comes to me later. He says, you know, I don't have pastors come talk to me. I said, Brother so-and-so, right? He says, yeah, when he gets something he wants, he's pretty persistent about it. And he talked to him. And we started joking about it because every day he came to me. Have you talked to him yet? First, he'd ask me in Creole. If he couldn't find a translator, he'd ask me in Creole, and I would say, oui. Or no, my two Creole words. And I would say that. And then he would ask me again. And then he brought another different translator to me and said, he wants to know if you. I said, I know. I said, you know, Bernard, if I don't give him this thing, I'm going to be in Miami at the airport, and he's going to walk up to me. I said, I'm going to come back to Seattle, and he's going to knock on my door at my house. And talk to me in Creole about how he's got to have this thing. He's persistent. But you know what? Honestly, I laugh about that, but you know why he's persistent? In all sincerity, he really loved his people, and he'd have anything for them. And we helped him. We got him what he needed. He'd be in church tonight if I didn't. But honestly, you know what? He really loved his people. Every one of those pastors did. But he really wanted that. And he entreated me with all of his heart. And you know what? We made sure we got him what he wanted. Once I found out it was a real need, I told him. And we took care of it. I didn't mind that. Now, somebody could get obnoxious about it, but God has all the time in the world. I have other things to do. You and I have other things to do. But God has all day to listen to you being persistent about things. And when you say, I really care about this, God, and I'm the friend at midnight, knocking the door at midnight, God says, I'm awake at midnight. Go ahead and be persistent. I'm awake. And God says, I haven't treated God with all my heart. When is the last time you really grabbed hold of God and said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me? You know, when Jacob did that, seemingly disrespectful to God in Genesis, I don't know what, 32 or whatever it is, he says, I'm not going to let you go except thou bless me. God did not seem to be angry with him. He said, you become a prince and prevailed. Have you ever really said, I've got to have this thing, God. I've got to have this thing. I've got to have this thing, God. I've entreated God with my whole heart. Do you ever pray with your whole heart? I mean, you can't do that in a crowd, by the way. That's what you got to get alone and do. And with your whole heart, entreat God for something. And then he goes even farther in Psalms 119. He says, I cried with my whole heart. Psalms 119, verse 145, he says, I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Until you get a spiritual mind, you'll never cry with all your heart for things of God. You got to care about something. Now, some people will cry with all their heart when the person they love dies, or when they lose the most important thing in the world. And some people will cry over insignificant things. They'll cry over their basketball team with all their heart. I mean, they'll cry as hard as they can cry. They'll do it. However, when you really get a burden for things of God, you weep and you can't even say words, and you empty yourself out, and you blubber, and your face looks terrible, and you're exhausted, and you're howling and weeping out to God because you've got to have something for God. Something has got to come from God. He says, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning in the morning. I cried, I hoped in thine word. He says, I really cried with everything in me. If you want to be psalmish, if you want to be like God, if you want to have that kind of, that makes God happy, the Psalms are wholehearted relationships of praise and desire and prayer and crying to God. Yet some of us think we're too cool for that. And some of us don't take the time to get alone, so we're embarrassed to do that. And some of us don't care about things enough for that. Because as long as we have food, and as long as we have a job, and as long as we have a car, we're okay in life. You know, life's not too bad. We need to realize there's things bigger than that. There are souls lost and going to hell. There's revival that needs to happen. There's family members that need to be saved. We've got to get the whole heart Christianity where you're not afraid to weep and cry and be expressive and passionate and praise God and do things with your whole heart. What do you do with your whole heart? Listen, some people play video games with their whole heart. Some people get on the internet and get on Facebook with their whole heart. And some people go and they get on the phone with their whole heart. And some people go and try to earn money with their whole heart. And many things they're very passionate and intense about. Many things. But in Psalms, they're passionate about praising God. With every bit of my strength and passion and intensity, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to ask for God's help. I'm going to seek God. That's what being psalmist is like. Enough of this dead, dull, dry Christianity where somebody doesn't have a passion for God. I heard a prayer, and I'll finish up with this. I heard a teaching on prayer, and I can't remember who it was. It was one of the great men of prayer. It might have been E.M. Bounds, but somebody was praying with them. It might have been George Mueller, but somebody was praying with them, and they said, oh, I'd really like to pray with you and learn what your prayer life is like. And so they went alone in the room, And he says, I'll pray first, the man who is a great man of prayer. And the other person just waited. And they got down on their face and didn't do anything. And he thought, oh, I wanted to hear him pray. I thought he was going to pray out loud. And they sat there for a minute on their faces, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And the person who recorded this said, after 20 minutes, he said, the man finally said, Father. And then he started to pray. And it was almost like he's feeling around and thinking about God and getting close to God and getting attached to God. And finally, after 20 minutes, he really felt like, okay, I'm before the throne here. And he grabbed God's hand and began to talk with respect and intensity and passion to the God of the universe. David Brainerd, as we said, used to fall off his horse in 2 feet of snow and melt the snow around him, praying. See, the God of the universe put his passion into you on the cross, and very intense. And with everything he had, he lived for his Father. And we ought to give that same passion and love and praise back to God instead of, yeah, I love God and it's good. God says, where's your passion for me and my things I care about? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Let's pray. Father, I pray to be Christians who have this passion. I pray to be psalmish Christians who feel the feelings of you, Father, and feel the deepness and really, really praise you and really love you and really worship you. And just in Psalms we talked about tonight, Lord, we could read other passages of our whole hearts, like loving you and other things. But tonight we're in Psalms, Lord. We don't have the praise with our whole heart, I don't think. We don't have the seeking you with our whole heart and entreating you with our whole heart and keeping your commandments with our whole heart and blessing you with our whole heart. We don't put as much passion into that as we do other things. But Lord, help us to put our passion into things that and into someone who deserves it and who's worthy of it, Lord. And I pray tonight if there's someone who's like me who is not good at this, they decide they're going to be good at it. And they would go and begin to, with their whole heart, give their praise and love to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.